This is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
Celeste Montague, thank you for joining us today, and we are studying the book of Romans together, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at the Church of Rome, and probably one of Paul's masterpieces of all of his writings. We are still in Romans chapter 1, an incredibly impactful chapter that kind of sets the table for our study. Let's listen as John brings us part 2 of a message titled, Abandoned by God, and talks about why it's good to be afflicted or disciplined by God. That's what David says in the Psalms. Here's our teacher, John Politon.
David said it in Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me that I was afflicted. It was good for me that I experienced some of the wrath of God. Why, David? Because I better learned thy statutes. God abandons truth-rejecting sinful man because man abandons God. Paul uses that phrase, paradidomai. God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over, three separate times in this passage, all the same, and yet with a little bit of a twist in meaning. First one, he gave them over, and it talks about really the essence of our sinfulness is described. And then second, God gave them over, as this one commentator pointed out, I think so well, and it shows the expression of that sinful essence that we're made of. And then lastly, he says God gave them over, and it shows the extent of how depraved and sinful man is. So, in verses 24 and 25, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God. There it is again. They reject God's truth. They know the truth. They exchange it, what? For a lie. And they still know, though, in the core of their being, they got to worship. They know there's a God. There's that angst. There's that tension. And so what do? They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You notice that word there. By the way, talk about serving the and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Talk about dishonoring the body. We spend millions to save a baby whale while infants are slaughtered in the womb by the millions across our country. Oh, well, you know, Roe versus Wade, it got overturned. Hey, friends, that just sent it back to the states. We're yet to see what the depravity of man will do with regards to this issue. Maybe God in His grace is going to give us that societal reprieve for a while, but ultimately, man's depravity ultimately will win out because God's word has predicted. But on an individual basis, there's no reason for your depravity and mine to ever dominate your life. If it's dominating your life in some aspect right now, repent. Stop it. Ask God for the grace to help you do so and come back to the cross of Christ. Friends, this message is for John. If this auditorium was empty, John needs to hear that and respond. And I'm just arrogant enough to think that maybe there's one more John out there who needs to do so as well. Notice it says, God, give them over in the lusts of their hearts. From deep within man, there's an impurity like the drippings of a broken sewer. Man lives in the lust of sensuality. Brian's teaching on James that he does in various portions when he's in the pulpit. James 1:14 says what? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. And when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. That word lust there, epithemia, it means a wrong desire. It means an illicit craving. And I got a little bit of a different insight on Ephesians 2 verse 3 in working up this message. In Ephesians 2, 3, Paul writing to the Ephesians says, among them, meaning among the sinners, we too, he said, also all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, in the epithumiae, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and get this, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And I just sort of use that phrase, has been in my head, and it just went on, kept on reading. But then when I started thinking of this, children of wrath, a person who is guided by their lusts and their depraved mind, who has rejected God, if you will, and is outside of the family of God by rejecting God's truth, he's literally working out the wrath of God in his life. And therefore, his life, his being, his existence is the product, is the fruit, is the child, if you will, of God's wrath. So it isn't just a euphemism, it's reality. For people who reject God's truth, and by the way, that basic is, in definition, is rejecting Jesus Christ, is rejecting what we celebrate at the end of the service. It's rejecting the cross of Christ. It's refusing to repent of your sins, acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, set your pride aside, humble yourself, realizing you cannot rescue yourself, and throw yourself on the mercy of God as presented at Calvary in the cross of Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. When you reject God and reject his truth, you by definition reject Christ. And so, there's no reason why any of you should continue being a child of wrath. There's no reason why any of us, as believers in Christ, as no longer children of wrath, should allow our sinful depravity to hold sway in any little or larger venue of our being. The devil, sorry to the late Flip Wilson, did not make you do it. You and I choose it ourselves. I'm aware in spades of my own depravity. My goal in standing up here today is to just encourage all of you to be more aware of it as well, because we need to understand the spiritual warfare we're in, and the battle starts here. The battle starts here before it ever, ever plays out there. So that's the essence. God gives man over to the essence of their sinfulness. Notice it says to degrade the body. Has there ever been a society degrade the body more than we degrade the body now? By the proliferation of murder, even on theater screens, the sexual abuse, child abuse, criminal abuse of spouses and children that goes on, the using of the human body that was to be designed to live for the glory of God and to be a temple for the Holy Spirit, to treat it literally as a piece of meat for physical fulfillment. Sin has poisoned us from the very roots. And by the way, it's always been that way. the wisest man from a human wisdom standpoint who ever lived succumbed to it himself, Solomon. What's he say in Ecclesiastes 9:3? Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. And get this, insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. How can you say insanity? How can you have the illogical insanity that is going on in our culture right now? We call moral goodness wrong, and we call the most despicable, atrocious, evil conduct good.
Our culture is sick and getting sicker. We call good evil and evil good. We are deserving of God's abandonment and judgment. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Romans and bring you more of a message today titled Abandoned by God, Part 2. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can learn more about John's church, download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking the Sermon tab, and order CD copies of John's teaching too by clicking the Contact tab and then sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to John as he continues to lament the sinfulness of our culture, calling good evil and evil good. Here's John.
We throw off all authority. We throw off all restraint. And wonder why there's chaos in the streets. We make ridiculous decisions at the political level, at the judicial level, at every level of authority. And you say, how can we have such illogical reasoning? Look what it says in verse 28. God gave them over to a depraved mind. This has all happened because the mind is depraved. The thinking is depraved. Verse 26, by the way, is an expression. It's the expression of the essence of man's sinfulness. It was hinted at the end of verse 24, their bodies being dishonored. But he gives us specifically. Now, Paul wants to cut right to the chase. He wants to underscore immediately just how far and how bad it will get in the expression of our sinfulness. And so, and I, by the way, as we prayed before the service, I'm aware that there's tender ears here and there's tender hearts here. And I don't have to get real literal because, like I said, everything we're reading here in these verses, you can usually see in the supermarket checkout stand. And the children and the youth, sad to say, are being assaulted with this vulgarity and this pornography and this illicit use of physical bodies 24/7. However, this is a pulpit. This is a sacred place, in my opinion, not because of me, because this is where God's word is to be expounded. And your children and even your own hearts don't need to be washed in the sewer. Our culture's doing that enough. And yet the Word of God directly addresses these. And so I don't believe there's an adult in this building who doesn't know exactly what these passages of Scripture are talking about. But what's he say? Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason. Now, here's the expression of the essence of that sinfulness. God gave them over to degrading passions. Notice that he starts with the women before he starts with the men. And the reason for that, I think, is very simple. There's a reason why historically women are referred to as the fairer sex. They are softer. They are more genteel as a general rule. They're cleaner as a general rule. Men are pigs, if you will, compared to womankind. It's the nature of their creation. They're responder to men by the way they're physically designed. And the men are expected to lead, and the women are designed to follow in that sense. By the way, I am totally aware that even some of you, maybe most of you for all I know, as believers, you can't believe John saying that. It's making you a little uncomfortable. 30 or 40 years ago, nobody in this building would have been uncomfortable about my saying anything like that. But it shows how impacted we are by the lie and the vulgarity of the media. Men are different than women. Men were designed to lead in the home. Women were designed to respond and to follow. I am never going to be able to nurse a child. I don't care what insanity is being breathed out in our culture. That is a depraved mind. You're seeing it happen. I'll tell you what the real litmus test will be. I'm hanging myself with this one. 6 months or a year from now, will the radio station broadcast this sermon? I hope so. We'll see. We'll see. In any event, and that, by the way, lusts of their hearts, depravement, degrading passions. It says, for the women, verse 26, exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Man runs to do what he's totally designed and made not to do. Why women first? Because I think it underscores the vulgarity even greater. I still remember an example. Now, this will show you how culture has changed. My father-in-law, 40 years ago, saying, you know, there's nothing attractive, John, about a cigarette hanging out of a guy's mouth. He says, but I'm going to tell you something. A cigarette hanging out of the side of a woman's mouth is 100 times more vulgar. Now, and by the way, the world knows that. The world knows that even. There was an entire marketing campaign 40 or 50 years ago to get around that stigma that everybody knew and sensed in their heart of hearts. Anybody remember what the ad line was? You've come a long way, baby. You sure have, a long way down. And by the way, do you know what it was advertising? Remember the cigarette? Virginia Slims. Friends, that was cigarettes. That's nothing compared to what we're seeing 50 years later. But it always starts. It always starts. And so Paul wants to underscore the debauched nature of it was and says, even the way, King James says, even the women, if you can believe it, is what he's saying. Do this. By the way, only 5% of the men in our culture declare themselves to be homosexual. 3.5% of the women compare themselves or describe themselves as lesbian. And yet an entire culture is being held hostage by this perversion. By the way, I love what one commentator said. It's not perversion. It's inversion. Perversion is you're going in a direction and you're a little law. Homosexuality and lesbianism is 180 degree opposite from what you were designed to be. It's not a perversion, it's an inversion. It's a total radical opposite change. And it's how debauched we have become that we vaunt it and celebrate it and are legally protecting it. And alternate lifestyle, it's not an alternate lifestyle. It's a perversion. What if I stood up and said, you know what? I robbed that bank. I'm going to rob another one tomorrow. And by the way, I'm going to rob another bank next week. It's just my alternate lifestyle. You would say, he's an idiot, put him in jail. Well, I got news for you. This sin is every bit as much a sin. And by the way, I'm not for adultery. I'm not for physical relationships outside of marriage. I'm not for lying or cheating or stealing or slander or any of those things. But he goes right to the heart of the most monstrous one because it's a total flip of God's design. Man forsakes the author of nature, and the author of nature forsakes man. I really wanted to end Romans 1 this morning, but I can't because I looked at the clock. And I'd like the men to come up and serve us communion. And we'll try to tie these thoughts down and ease into Romans 2, Lord willing, next week. I asked Jim Claypool specifically, as a setup for communion, to read the passages that he read earlier in Mark 14 and in Luke 22, because they talked about the Lord's table, and they specifically touched upon Peter's sinful denial of Christ. And while we're talking about a culture that has rejected God, and while we've talked about people outside of Christ, I've done my best to underscore, I hope, that this passage of Scripture relates to you and me and our depravity as believers as well. It's been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow every time he reflected back on his denying his Lord. One commentator said he probably remembered his boastful promise, "All these will fall away, not me. I'm ready to die for you, Lord." And a servant girl challenges him, and he's denying Christ. How about me? How about you? How many commitments have I made? How many oaths have I made before the Lord? How many promises to my wife, and promises to friends, and promises to clients, and promises to parishioners and others have I made and then breached because of sinfulness? Does my fountain of tears flow like Peter's? How many times he thought of denying his Lord as a result of a little servant girl's comment? A little bit later, he's challenged a second and a third time. And you recall the text that Jim read to us there in Luke 22. He starts cursing even. Cursing. I don't know him. How many times have I had an opportunity to stand for Christ, and I basically denied him?
We are all guilty of denying Christ as we try to exist as believers in a world that is in great rebellion toward God. We need to pray for spiritual strength and for zeal for the Lord, because we are called as God's people to be a witness to this generation. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon and a message titled Abandoned by God, Part 2, as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We hope that John's teaching is ministering to you, and we invite you to consider supporting John's radio ministry with a secure tax-deductible gift of any amount, and help us to keep John's teaching on the air as a witness to this generation. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and responds to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living with your letter to John. And here's his mailing address: Reformed Living, Post Office Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. And now here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.